Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. As we advance and get closer to the special Chag of Purim, this year we had to wait an extra month, as we had two Adars. The Shabbos Bez Hashem will be reading Parshas Zohar, and in all places outside Yerushalayim and Chutzlaretz, they'll be reading on Megillah, Matzah Shabbos, and on Yom Rishon, Yerushalayim on Yom Sheni, on Monday. Therefore, I think it would be a good idea for us to talk a little bit about the Chag of Purim. Now, we know Parashat Zohar symbolizes the idea of Zechiras Mechias Amalek, to remember that we have a chiyuv to obliterate and to wipe out Amalek. Now, the main danger of Amalek is that Amalek symbolizes the idea, like the Pasuk says in Parashat Zohar, Asher Korcha B'derech. Now she tells us Lashon Mikra, that Amalek tries to give us the message that there is no such thing as divine providence. There is no such thing as a Kadosh Baruch Hu's control and intervention to everything that happens inside the world. And the things that we'll see as Ashkacha Pratis, they'll just say it's coincidental. It's not something that's controlled by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a tremendous danger to Klal Yisrael. In which case, there's a chiyuv of Mechias Amalek. And we have to remember that we have to watch out for that danger of Amalek. Now, how do we do that? By identifying a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In Megillah, we find that after Mordechai becomes aware of the sakana, of the danger of what Haman was behind, when he gets, because the Medrash tells us that he got a gilui from Eliyahu HaNavi to let him know that when they convinced the Jews of Shushan to come to the Mishnah in Shushan, the whole idea of it was to make them stumble and be chayte in Yanei's Nus, in which case there was a tremendous kitchen, a tremendous claim in Shemayim for them to be destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to them being destroyed. And Eliyahu Navi comes, he goes to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and then finally to Moshe Rabbeinu, and at the end, Baruch Hashem, because the Xerah, the decree, was not written in blood, was not written in dam, but was written in cement, in teeth and cement. Therefore, there was Eichad, the Tzilus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Elamas Al Yainim, and Mordechai Tzadik down in the Elam Asiyah that we live in. They were able to join together and be able to be Mevatel the Xerah. It was a very intense situation. Now, Mordechai Tzadik finds out about that, he puts on clothing of mourning, right? Sack for Eifer, right? Sackcloth, he put on. Now, he had to get a message to Esther Malka that she's going to have to go now into the palace and plead for Achashverosh to be able to save the Jews, because it wasn't looking very good right now. Haman got his way, and he was very powerful in convincing all the Achashverosh and all the Umas Ha'olam that the Jews have to be wiped out. So it was a very serious situation, and he put on clothing of mourning for that, and he had to get a message to Esther Malka that she has to go inside. Esther Malka heard that he was walking around with sackcloth outside, and she knew that that's a very serious thing. So she sent him, the Pasuk says, "Vatishlach begadim lehalbash es Mordechai b'leiki bel." Esther Malka sent begadim to Mordechai to change, to add the sackcloth, because you were not allowed to go in the area of the king walking around with sackcloth. That was a very big offense. But he didn't accept it. He continued to be in his mourning, his sackcloth. And then he sends a message with Asach, which was Daniel, to tell Esther that she has to go to plead for Klal Yisrael. She has to go inside. And Esther was hesitant. She didn't want to go inside. And then eventually Mordechai lets her know that you can't think about yourself right now and your welfare, right? If you're going to be quiet, right? Then you'll be the one that loses out. There'll be a Hatzal to Klal Yisrael somehow or another, right? But right now, this is what you have to do. You have to be able to go inside, in which case Esther Malka goes in, rescues her life, and it leads to the continuation of the story. The question that Mepharshim ask is, But Mordechai had to convince Esther to go into the Achashverosh. That was something that had to be told to her right away. So why did he himself go inside? Why did he send a shliach to go tell her? Why did he go inside himself? Right? So the answer was because he was wearing the sackcloth, and he knew that if he's not supposed to wear it, if he walks inside to the actual area where Esther Malka was, then that's a very serious offense. So then the Mepharshim asked, okay, so then don't put on the sackcloth first. First go inside, tell Esther what has to be done, and then come out and put on the sackcloth and cry and be in mourning. Why did he first put on the sackcloth, disabling himself to be able to go in directly himself to tell her? That should have been done first, and then afterwards to sit down. So the Mepharshim explained, I saw this in the real Mepharshim Sefer, the Mepharshim say that Mordechai didn't want to start anything without tefillah. The first place that you have to start off first is to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bnei Shalom were in a matzav. He put on clothing of mourning and to cry into the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the first thing. When Yaakov Avinu had to fight against Esau, go against Esau, he prepared in three ways. He sent a present, L'dayin, a present, tefillah, davening, and l'chama, and he prepared for war. But the first thing that he dealt with was tefillah. Because that has to be the first stage that we have to deal with. And that's what Mordechai said. I have all these other things, but the first place I have to step into right now is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to give us the Yeshua that we need. Now we know that when we have a chag, the chag is not just a memorial of something that happened. It's our opportunity to relive the experience, to be able to relive the experience that happened on that chag. Now we see from here and many other places, The whole point of stressing the idea of the importance of tefillah. The Yom Tzayim, when they fasted for 3 days, and the tefillahs between Esther and Mordechai coming before going into the Melech, and how that was the whole Yeshua that brought Klal Yisrael out. And therefore the day of Purim is such a valuable, valuable day for tefillah. And sometimes it just goes by so quickly, we waste it. You know, I saw a beautiful idea from the grandson of the Chiddush Arim, who's the Admor Mipiltz. And he writes a story, he says a drasha that his grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, used to say. The Chiddush Arim told over a story with the Baal Shem Tov, that there was once a very, very big plague, a Magefa, that was going through all the cities and killing people and people were very, very sick, and young people, older people were being affected by it. You know, we'll be familiar to such things from over the last few years, right? And they didn't know what to do about it. So they came to Baal Shem Tov and they asked him, "New Rebbe, can you help to stop this Magefa?" He says, "There's nothing I can do. How can I stop this Magefa?" So they pleaded with him, "Please, can you give us an answer? What should we do? What should we do?" So Hashem to tell them, I'll tell you what to do. There's a certain city down the road over there. You have to go a distance. And when you get to that city, there's a big tzaddik there. His name is Rav Zalman. And if you get Rav Zalman to tell you to stop the Magefa, then the Magefa is going to stop. So the Hasidim said, okay. They got on their wagon, and they went as fast as possible to go down to the city. When they get to the city, they come to the shul of the city, and they ask the Gabbai, can you tell us where we can find the big tzaddik of Zalman? So the Gabbai looked at him and says, in this city, we don't have that many tzaddikim over here. It's not such a hush of a city over here, right? We don't have so many tzaddikim here. Maybe there's a few kfarim of tzaddikim that are here, but there's not many tzaddikim here. And Zalman, nobody here named Zalman, except one person in the city whose name is Zalman. He's known as the shikr of this town. He's the drunkard of this town. He's drunk from day till night, right? I don't think he's the tzaddik that you're looking for. So the chassidim didn't know what to do. They heard from the Baal Shem Tov that they have to go to somebody, the tzaddik of Zalman in the city. So they went to look for this person. So they went looking through all the city, find the house of Zalman, finally come to the house. And when they get to the door, knock and knock and knock, and there's no response. Finally, they open up the door slowly, and they come. come inside it. It was a stench of alcohol inside the house. It smelled so terribly. And they started to walk inside. And as they walked inside, the smell got stronger and stronger and stronger. Until they saw a young man sleeping. Totally a mess and filthy and all, you know, as drunk as anything. So the Hasidim closed up their noses. And they went up close to him and they said, "Listen, Rav Zalman, please get up. You know, we have a very important thing that you have to help us with. It's important shlichus that we need you to help us with." And he looked up, what do you want from me? "Rav Zalman, please, can you please tell us that this mageifa should stop? That it should stop, that this sickness should stop?" He says, "What, mageifa? What are you talking about? Get away from me. He asked me to drink. I want to drink something now. What mageifa? Go away. Stop it." He said, "Please just say that mageifa should stop. Just say that mageifa should stop." "I'm not saying anything." He turned over to the other side and went back to sleep. So they're ready to give up already. But what are they going to do? Baal Shem Tov told them that this is who they have to go to. And many people were in a sakana right now. People were dying. People were very, very sick. So they had no choice. And they woke him up again, right? And they put him on the, to try to get him, awake again, right? And they waited a couple of hours, and finally, they took away all his wine, so he wasn't able to be drunk anymore, to drink anymore, and eventually he came through, and he wakes up, and he sees all these people there, and he says, "What are you people doing here? Why are you here?" So then he said, "You're tzaddik, can you give us a bracha to stop the mageifa?" So he looked at them and he goes, "Nobody ever called me a tzaddik before, right? Why are you people calling me a tzaddik, right?" He came looking around for why. So he said, "Rav Zalman, right, why does it bother you, right? Just tell us now, stop the mageifa, just say those words." He said, "You have some good wine?" He goes, yeah, "We have good wine." I said, "If you tell us that you'll stop the mageifa, right, then you'll get this bottle of wine." And sure enough, he said, "Okay, the mageifa should stop." He said those words. And then they gave him the bottle of wine. When he came back to the city, they were amazed to see that just at the exact time that this Yid of Zalman said over that the mageifa should stop, that the mageifa stopped and everybody was healed and people started getting better and people stopped dying. So they came to the Baal Shem Tov and they said, "Listen, Rebbe, can you explain to us? We don't understand. How is it from this shikr over here, from this drunkard over here, that he didn't know what's going on, and he's the one that's coming here to save us from this mageifa over here? What's shyness? How could it be?" So I'll tell you the secret. This Zalman here, a number of years ago, he wanted to do a very big avera. And he needed a lot of money for that. And he worked very, very hard saving his money up. Saving his money so he should be able to go do that avera. And he came up with about, I think, 500 rubles, which was a tremendous, tremendous amount of money to be able to fill that, to be able to fulfill his avera and his tithes, whatever he wanted to do. And he was on his way to go take care of what he wanted to do. When he was on his way, so he came to a certain village, and as he passes by one of the houses, he hears like tremendous cries and moaning and groaning, like such pain of women and a woman and her children inside crying away out of bitterness. So his heart went out. He knocked on the door. He said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen to my husband right now. They're hanging my husband tomorrow." "Well, why are they hanging him?" "Well, we owe the landlord here, the Peretz, who owned all the lands over there, a tremendous amount of money for rent here, and we haven't paid it for years, and we couldn't pay him, and we barely have any food over here, right? And now he let us know he's not willing to take any more extensions for us anymore, and he sent messengers to go take my husband and put him into jail, and if by tomorrow we don't pay the amount that we are owing him, then he'll be hung on a tree." And she's just crying and crying and crying. So he asked her, how much do you owe? She said, 500 rubles. That's a tremendous amount of money. We can never come up with such an amount of money. So he said, well, you know something? That's exactly what I have in my pocket right now. And he took that amount of money, and instead of using it for the avera he was going to do, he took the money and gave it to her, and she went to the pirates, to the landlord, and, you know, he was able to pay up the chayv and saved this woman's husband. And he was able to come home to his house, and he didn't wind up doing his avera. Says the Baal Shem Tov, when he did that, the Shemaim shook, that a person was saving money for all these years to do an avera, and to help another yid, to save him from captivity, he gave it over. So then, for such a person, he was going to get schar, right? Both in this world and in the next world. What was the schar in this world? That any bracha that he's going to say, it'll be kept. But there was a pachad that came out. If he says any bracha that's going to be kept, it means for anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Mashiach to come when it's supposed to be the time for Mashiach to come. And if he all of a sudden says Mashiach should come now, he's going to have to come now. So therefore he was being kept in a situation where he had liquor the entire time, and he was drinking, and that was something that was stopping him from being conscious to be able to come to different points. So therefore, the being able to make that bracha wouldn't come into reality. But the minute that the people that came to get the bracha for the snap snapped him, right? So that koyach of his being able to give brachas was able to be fulfilled, and that's why it was able to snap. Says the Chiddush Harim, this story of Baal Shem Tov is something that happens to us all the time, in every place, and especially on Purim. We have a day called Purim, which is a tremendous, tremendous kayach for tefillah and brachas and everything that we have. And like the pasuk says, "Uvabayker emel lamelech," in the morning you should go to the king, right? So they in Jewish they say, go to the king who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him for everything you want. Like we say in Halacha, that there's a din of Kol HaPayshit Yadai, that anybody who stretches his hand out to you on Purim, you're supposed to give him a tzedakah. That's why, you know, you shouldn't turn a person over and ask you for the tzedakah. Kol HaPayshit Yadai. And they say in Jewish over there, that the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who stretches his hand out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts his tefillah. He takes the tefillah and it's a tremendous yeshua for people. But we're so busy with different things. Then it comes a point, and we take the shichlus of Purim. There's a mitzvah for a person chayvin is a mitzvah, and there's a mitzvah for a person to mitzvah on Purim. But sometimes we take that mitzvah, we just take it to a point, we just distract ourselves from the whole point. We're so busy running around and all the types of things, we have to realize there's such a vault and a treasure box that's open to us right now for us on Purim. And to give us an extra chance to be able to connect our Kodesh Baruch Hu and Tefillah, and then the day just gets distracted and goes by before we know it afterwards, with all the shachmas we're busy with all the things we have to take care of to prepare, and then we get busy with the Suda, and the day just goes by. Just like Mordechai Tzadik said, we don't, before running to anything else, Kosh Baruch Hu to the Mispalo. You know, we're in a challenging time now in Klal Yisrael. This Muhammad and Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we've seen tremendous issues with many, many things, a lot of Hashkacha Pratis, but there's a Sakana here. There's a Sakana. Many people died. Many people are still in captivity. And people are living with a concern. We don't know what, you know, from the different borders that face Klal Yisrael. And that's a Sakana that we have. But one thing we do know is, Hinei Layanu Layishim Shayim Yisrael. Kosh Baruch Hu never sleeps. We have to reach out to him, daven to him. Take advantage of that. Daven for our families, daven for our panasa, daven for our ruchnias, daven for our, the generations, the challenges that there's so many challenges that go from generation to generation with the different challenges and tests that our children and grandchildren, you know, go through, the things that, let's say, people went through years ago are no level to what we go through today. And if we use that koyach hatfila and we use it properly, that could be the key for us to come to the Yeshua, the long waited Yeshua that we're waiting for so many years. And Rav Hashem, we should be able to see that Yeshua together with the Achir Kobeis Yisrael, with Hashem, and with that to be able to be together, be Yerushalayim, to be able to be Oved, Lasik B'Ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shleimus, and B'Kad Hashem Shemayim, with the Geula Shleima B'Karav Yameinu, Amen. Everyone should have a good Shabbos, a Freilich and Purim, and to be able to maximize and take what they can, to be able to have an Aliyah for them and their families. Kol Tov, be well.